Be with you. Happy Mother's Day, and it's good to be together again. This is Marbleton Freewell Baptist Church. I'm Pastor Tim, and we're so glad to be with you today on a beautiful, beautiful day, and we want to go to the Lord in prayer this morning, and remembering all of her requests, and continue to pray for Tammy Mitchell. She is in rehab now, and remember her and remember all of our prayer requests, and you can, the ones you have, go ahead and mention them to the Lord, and we'll pray about them, and every request we have, pray for our nation, and pray for us as a church, and we hope to be open real soon. One item not got here yet, but we'll be making some announcements pretty soon. But thankful to be with you today. Isn't it good to be a Christian today and be saved and on your way to heaven? If you don't know the Lord, today would sure be a good day to ask Him to come into your heart and forgive you and save your soul. And so let's pray this morning. Father, we come to you and we're thankful to be able to call upon you. Lord, we're so thankful that for your many, many wonderful blessings. We're thankful for godly mothers. And Father, we thank you for Mother's Day as we celebrate and recognize our mothers. And Father, I pray that everyone that's listening today, that you would touch and bless. And Father, you'd touch our mothers, help them to have a special day. We usually do stuff here, but Father, we just pray that you would just bless them abundantly and help have a good day and be with each one. Father, be with this service. I pray for the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Lord, you'd just cover us in your blood and everything would be exactly what you want. And Father, we just ask you again to anoint, to bless, touch the old preacher boy. And Lord, anoint me from up on high. And I pray, Father, that you would illuminate my thinking and Lord, you'd help us today, be with Calvin and Christy as they come. And Lord, I thank you for everyone that's take part of making this possible and everyone that watches on their phones or their devices. And Father, I pray for each and every one. I pray, God, that this service would be a blessing and touch. Pray for our nation and our leaders. Pray, God, for our local leaders, all the church leaders. Lord, we need wisdom. As much or more than we ever have. And Father, we love you and praise you and thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Of course, today is Mother's Day, and I've found a little thing that I wanted to share. A Mother's Day a few years ago, in the Calvin and Hobbes comic strip, Calvin is pictured standing by his mother's bed. "Hey, Mom, wake up. I made you a Mother's Day card." And the mother said, "My, how sweet of you." And he said, "I did it all myself. Go ahead and read it." And she begins to read the card. And the card says, "I was going to buy a card with hearts of pink and red, but I thought I'd rather spend the money on me instead. It's awful hard to buy things when one's allowance is so small, so I guess you're pretty lucky I got you anything at all. Happy Mother's Day. There, I've said it. Now I'm done. So how about getting out of bed and fixing breakfast for your son?" Signed, Calvin. And the mother said, "I'm deeply moved." And Calvin said, "Did you notice the part about my allowance?" And so I wanted to share that with you. On Mother's Day, mothers, I hope you have a good and blessed day. And this time, Calvin and Christy is going to come and share with us a song. And we're good to be with you today. Thank you.
Soon this life will end, and I'll hear that sweet sound. My child in her end, you've won a bright crown. I don't deserve such mercy and grace. There's one thing I'll do when I see his sweet face. I'll lay my crown at the Master's feet. Then I'll bow down all nations, crown him King of all kings. I'll shout hallelujah, my joy is complete, when I lay my crown at the Master's feet. All the good things I've done seem so little to me, without God or his love, tell me where would I be? So lost without hope, no future in view. But when I see my Lord, something I must do, I'll lay my crown King of all kings. I'll shout hallelujah, my joy is complete, when I lay my crown at the Master's feet. I'll shout hallelujah, my joy is complete, when I lay at the Master's feet.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Get behind me, Satan. Leave me alone. I'm walking with Jesus, so keep moving on. I'm gonna make heaven my eternal home. Get behind me, Satan, and leave me alone.
You're full of illusions.
You're full of lies. And I won't fall victim of compromise.
Up there in heaven,
I plan to be.
I'm living for Jesus, so get behind me.
I said, get behind me, Satan. Leave me alone. I'm walking with Jesus, so keep moving on. I'm gonna make heaven my eternal home. Get behind me, Satan, and leave me alone.
Paint pretty pictures
that are not true. And I've read my scripture, Satan, I'm rebuking you.
I've been forgiven,
no more am I blind.
So you go your way, Satan, and I will go mine.
I said, get behind me, Satan, leave me alone. I'm walking with Jesus, so keep moving on. I'm gonna make heaven my eternal home. Get behind me, Satan, and leave me alone.
I said,
get behind me, Satan, leave me alone. I'm walking with Jesus, so keep moving on. I'm gonna make heaven my eternal home. Get behind me, me, Satan, and leave me alone. You paint pretty pictures that are not even true. I've read my scripture, Satan, and now I'm rebuking you. Because I've been forgiven. No more am I blind. So you go your way, Satan, and I will go mine. I said, get behind me, Satan, leave me alone. I'm walking with Jesus, so keep moving on. I'm gonna make heaven my eternal home. Get behind me, Satan, and leave me alone.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, that ought to get us fired up this morning. I had that song on my mind and heart, was singing it when I was getting ready this morning. I kind of knew, kind of thought the Lord told me we might be hearing that. So I'm thankful. Enjoy that song. I appreciate it so much. And I appreciate the truth that's in it. That we have power against the devil. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And I'm glad that we have victory through the precious name of Jesus Christ this morning. If you're saved this morning and on your way to heaven, you've got authority over the devil in the name of Jesus Christ. And praise the Lord. Aren't you glad? See, that's one of the benefits of that empty tomb that we talked about a few weeks ago, is the power over the enemy. When he came out and crushed his head with his foot, that opened up the door that we have authority in the name of Jesus Christ. He said, whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give it to you. I'm thankful for that this morning. Good to be with you this morning, and want to share a message with you. We have been reading through the Bible we've read through the book of Judges just here recently, and as we have read through, and it jumped out at me and got on my mind, and I've been thinking about it since then, is the message I want to preach today, Characteristics of a Godly Mother. But as going through the Judges, in Judges chapter 4, in verse 1, the Bible says, and the children of Israel did again evil in the sight of the Lord. This is a recurring verse in the first 13 chapters of the book of Judges. This verse is repeated about six times in 2:11 and 3:12, 4:1, 6:1, 10:6, and 13:1. This same verse comes out, and the children of Israel did again evil in the sight of the Lord. They kept messing up. The Lord would send them a judge and would deliver them and help them, and then they'd go right back to their old ways again. And I'm sorry to say and hate to say, but don't that sound a lot like us as Christians in our lives, that the Lord will deliver us and take and stuff, and then before you know it, we'll start going back. We'll cool off in some areas, and I'm not saying go back completely. Hope we don't, but we kind of ease up and cool off and go back. But in Judges 21:25, the last verse in the book of Judges, the Bible says, in those days there were no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And I've thought about that and thinking about America today. That kind of sounds like America. That kind of sounds like people just does what makes them feel good. They want to just satisfy self and not concerned about the things of the Lord that much, not concerned about each other as much as we're concerned about just what I feel like doing. I just think I ought to be able to do it. And that's the theme, and that's a lot of, I've had it said similar words to me of that. But I'm thankful for the Word of God. I'm thankful for a godly mother that taught me, that I've said so often, I heard it years ago, and it hit to me that I had a drug problem when I was a little boy. My mama drugged me to church every time the doors opened. And I'm thankful for every time that she did. And I'm thankful that that set in my mind and put in my mind that that's part of living a Christian life. It's, and I know we've not been able to get together, but not forsaken the assembly. When churches open up, it don't matter where you go to church. If you don't have a home, you're welcome here, and we invite you. But as soon as you can, get back in the house of the Lord and get back in with the fellowship and under the preaching of the gospel. But when the children of Israel would turn away from God and start worshiping idols, the Lord allowed the oppressors to come in and overtake them. And then in chapter 2, verse 18, the Lord then would raise up a judge and would deliver them all the days of that judge. And some of the judges that we're familiar with, most of it, we know of Samson, we know of Gideon, some of these. And then there's some not so known as Othniel, Ehud, and Jephthah. But in chapter 4, we're introduced to a judge, and her name is Deborah. And as I read, I don't know when we read through this time, and I noticed getting close to Mother's Day, and I really started digging and looking and thinking about Deborah. And the Bible said that it's in chapter 5 that said that she, in verse 7, that I arose a mother in Israel. She was pretty much saying that she would became the mother of Israel. And she was married, and she was a wife and a godly woman. And want to talk about her day. Her name is Deborah. Her name means bee. And some say honeybee, but the meaning of her name is bee. And you know, I got thinking about that, and I thought, you know, this describes some godly mothers that I've known. They're sweet as honey, but you sure don't want to mess with them, or you'll get stung. Amen. And you don't want to mess with the mother's children. You don't want to mess with the mother's grandchildren. You don't want to mess with the mother's husband. You don't want to get into messing with the mother's family and what they think about. And I thought that was so funny that I thought, they're sweet as honey, but boy, they'll sure sting you if you mess with them. And if you want to see the bad side of a mother, just mess with their family. Amen. But I want to share some godly characteristics. What is a godly mother? Or a godly woman, we could say. Got a quote that, all that I am or hope to be, I owe to my angel mother, Abraham Lincoln. A quote from him. And I'd say there'd be a lot of people that could amen that this morning. And anything the spiritual, my daddy taught me how to work, but my mama taught me what it was meant to go to church and be a Christian in a spiritual life. And she prayed with me so many times. But I want to look at some godly, the characteristics of a godly mother. Godly mothers love the Lord and possess wisdom. In verses 4 and 5 here in the book of Judges, chapter 4, and Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, she judged Israel at that time. And she dwelt under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in Mount Ephraim, and the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. As we see that the Bible calls her a prophetess. And other women, Anna, when Jesus went in to be on his eighth day and to the temple, Anna was a prophetess. Miriam, Moses' sister, was a prophetess. But a prophetess or a prophet is one that speaks for the Lord, that speaks up. And we see that she spoke up and took a stand for the Lord. And judges and prophets also, in this time when we see in the judges, they had a direct communication with God. God would speak to them, and they would carry out God's will and speak as God had spoke to them. And what a blessing it is. And I encourage not only mothers, but all women and all men, that we listen and have direct communication with the Lord. That we allow Him to direct our lives. We allow Him in every part of our life. We will go to Him in prayer, and we will be in close communication with Him, and God will tell us what we need to do and how we need to go about it and be involved, the things to be involved in, the things to shun, the things to get away from. Aren't you glad today that cares enough about us that He'll still talk to us. He'll still communicate with us. He'll still use His Word. He'll still use the Holy Spirit of God that will tell us, no, you need to stay away from that. Amen. Or yes, go on. And so we're glad, and I'm thankful of that. And I encourage you today. See, Deborah lived in a male-dominated and dark period of time in Israel. It was we'll see here in a little bit, but 20 years that they've been under oppression. And so it's in this time, but I was thinking, it said that Deborah sat under the palm trees and judged or shared. She shared God's word with people. She shared God's judgment. She shared God's wisdom that He had given her. And she sat there and taught the people and judged and helped rightly divide and do things. And she was a pioneer of her time. This is the only other judges was men. But God raised up a woman here that was a judge. And you know, I got to thinking about women and the part in the church. You know, we'd been in trouble in VBS if it hadn't been for women. We'd been in trouble in Sunday school and primary classes and children's ministries and a lot of things if it wasn't for women. Christmas plays, Easter plays, all of these things. I remember coming to church. I remember a little old lady in our church that I grew up in. She played the piano. I think she played the we had two piano players. She did the Christmas plays. She did the Easter plays. She was the Martha of the church, and she took care of a lot of things. But if it wasn't for women that taking a stand, we'd be in trouble as a church. Are you thankful for godly women that's concerned about the work of the Lord? I sure am. See, and also I was thinking, and it's obvious here that Deborah had a great relationship with the Lord. She was in tune with God, and God used her in a mighty way. Aren't you glad? It's obvious today when you see a godly woman. The way they carry themselves and the way they handle themselves and their dress and every part about them, it is obvious when you're in the presence of a godly person, isn't it? And that holds true with a man also. But you know, when you have a special relationship with the Lord, people know it. You don't have to go around and wear a shirt that says, I'm a Christian. If you've got the right relationship with the Lord, people's going to know it. They're going to see the difference in your life. Is your relationship obvious? How does other people see you today? When they look at you and describe you, and someone was asking about you, I found a little thing that this hit this point good. A little small boy went into a lingerie section of a big department store and shyly presented his problem to the sales clerk. He said, I want to buy my mama a present of a slip. And he said, and I don't have no clue what size she wears. And the clerk said, well, it would help me know if your mom was short, tall, fat, or skinny. The little boy said, she's just perfect. And the sales clerk said, I'll pack you up a 34. 2 days later, the mom come and traded 34 for a 52. But in the little boy's eyes, mama was perfect. Praise the Lord. And you know, there's somebody watching you There's somebody watching me, and they look at us and they think we run the flag up. They think that we're in everything at number one and we're perfect. And boy, I don't want to let them down, do you? And I encourage you today that we'll be that person and have that relationship with the Lord, that it's obvious that who we are and where we are with the Lord, that we're like Deborah, that we love the Lord and possess wisdom from the Lord. You know, there's a lot of folks that will wake up in heaven, and it's been because of a mom or a grandma. And I got to thinking about this song, and Aaron Wilburn wrote it and sings it some. I think maybe Ivan Parker has sung it, and probably a lot of other folks. But it's Mama's Rocking Chair. And I'll read a little bit of it. But it started out, said, I had a front row seat when David fought Goliath. I was looking in the den when Daniel walked with lions, saying, wake up, Samson, wake up, when Delilah cut his hair. I saw it all from Mama's rocking chair. Later on in the song, a verse, it says, as she painted scenes from Calvary, I could see Jesus died for me, and I met him there in Mama's rocking chair. Wow. What an opportunity mothers and grandmothers and folks have when you've got that little one sitting on your knees in your rocking chair. Or when you're bathing them in the bathtub, the questions that raise, the opportunities that you have to lead those little ones and instill important doctrinal truths of the Christian faith. Wow, what a blessing it is. I just thought that song would hit a point good this morning. And godly mothers love the Lord and possess wisdom, but they also listen to the Lord. You know, Rhonda gets on me. I love her, but I don't always listen to her. And she, look, oh, she's rolling her eyes right now. I'm in trouble. But she'll say, why do I even tell you anything? She's amen, but loudest amen I've ever got from her, I believe. But, you know, if we love the Lord, we ought to listen to Him. And Deborah listened to the Lord. In verse 6 and 7, the Bible says, and she sent and called Barak, the son of Abinoam, out of Kadesh Naphtali, and said unto him, hath not the Lord God of Israel commanded, saying, go and draw toward Mount Tabor, and take with thee 10,000 men of the children of Naphtali and the children of Zebulun, and I will draw unto thee to the river of Kishon, Sisera, the captain of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his multitude, and I will deliver him into thine hand. So we see here of her listening to the Lord. The Lord was speaking to her. What a bleak picture. They had been oppressed here of King Jabin for 20 years. And now the oppressors had 900 chariots. I don't see that Israel had a whole lot of weapons. And in that day and time, chariot would be like what we would consider in ground warfare a tank today. And it would be like that they were going up against 900 tanks with some old boys with some pistols in a pickup truck. It's about the difference. Now, I don't think that we would have much good going up against the tank with a pickup truck and a .22 revolver. Amen? And this is what they were facing. They were coming up against all of these chariots. He had 900, and they were mighty, and they were fighters. And now that God had told Israel to take 10,000 men and go fight them. Wow. You see, when I was thinking about this, and God, who did God speak to? It's not really not a trick question. Who did God speak to? He spoke to the one listening to Him. Amen? Everybody else all involved and all tore up about everything. It was one listening. He spoke to her. It was a woman, and God spoke to her. She was in communication with the Lord. Everything was in line. So God spoke to her and said, "You go tell Barak." Well, that tells me he must not have been listening like she was. And so we see that God spoke to the ones listening today. You want to hear from the Lord? Just start listening. Amen. I don't mean that ugly. I mean that in a way that we're so wound up and so involved in so many things, and we don't take time to sit and listen to the Lord. We don't take time to read like we should, and we don't pray and commune with the Lord. But God's instructions that He had given her here required faith. Now I'm gonna tell you, it took a lot of faith to pack up and say, "Okay, we're going to fight against 900 tanks or 900 chariots." It took a lot of faith, but she knew the Lord. She didn't know the plan. She didn't know what was going to happen, but she said, God said it, and we need to do it. And Barak said, "I'll go if you'll go." And she said, "Let's go." Amen. But she said, "Now, if I go with you, you're not going to get the honor. A woman will get the honor." And it did. Jabin, it was the one that killed Sisera. But anyway, I'm getting way ahead of the story. But the instructions came, and it takes faith sometimes to act. You know, this day and time, if we can't see it, we really don't believe it. I have a hard time exercising faith. It's still faith come by hearing, hearing by the word of God. It's still faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. It's impossible to be pleasing to Him and not exercise faith, not have faith in Him, and not have faith in His power and what He can do. We have lived in a time that we've always had money. And if we run short of money, we've got a credit card. Amen? And we have not had to exercise faith. We're in a situation right now. We got to have faith in God. We got to turn to Him and trust Him. He's got the answers. I don't know what they are, but I can tell you, when He tells us what to do, we need to do it and trust Him, and He'll take care of the rest. And this morning in this message, that we see Israel is in a bad shape. And God's saying, "Go, I want you to go. It's time. I'm going to deliver you." Praise the name of the Lord. Is there something you need deliverance from today? Maybe you have something, a besetting sin or something that's bothered you for years, and you may have an addiction. You may have an alcohol problem. You may have a pornography problem. I don't know. Whatever it is, something that you can't get victory over, won't you give it to the Lord? Won't you trust Him with it? Won't you have faith that He's able to deliver you? And this morning we see that now that Deborah has said, "Barak, we need to go to Mount Tabor." You know, we need some godly women and men that will not listen to the world, but listen to Almighty God and trust in the Lord instead of man. And I have another quote that Leslie Flynn tells of a mother who was peeling vegetables for a salad when her daughter, home from college, casually mentioned she was going to a questionable movie that evening. And the mother suddenly picked up a handful of garbage and threw it in the salad. "Mother," said the shocked girl, "you're putting garbage in the salad." And she said, "I know," said, "You're putting garbage in your mind. I didn't think you'd have a problem putting a little bit in your belly." And this is a wisdom of a godly mother, leading in a way and not following the ways of the world. Amen? And that is what we need this day and time. And I'm afraid that one of the problems we have with society today, that we don't have mothers and daddies and grandmothers and granddaddies that's praying and doing the things and going to the throne of God for their grandkids and their children like they used to be. I know with me, my mama prayed over me every day, and I thank God for that. She'd lay her hands on me and said, Tim, let me pray with you before you leave. Let me pray that God will protect you. Let me pray. And she's prayed me home. She's prayed me out of things, and I'm thankful for that tonight. And we need godly parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles and siblings that will get on their face before God and say, protect my family. Will you bring them home? Will you bring them into salvation? Not only do we see the godly mothers love the Lord and they listen to the Lord, but they lead others to trust the Lord. In verse 9 and verse 14, verse 9, the Bible said, and she said, I will surely go with thee, notwithstanding the journey that thou takest shall not be for thine honor, for the Lord shall sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. Deborah rose and went with Barak to Kadesh. In verse 14, and Deborah said unto Barak, up, for this is the day in which the Lord hath delivered Sisera into thine hand. Is not the Lord gone out before thee? So Barak went down from Mount Tabor, and 10,000 men after him. Wow, this story, the way that it's done. She said, Barak, go to Mount Tabor. And what happened is when he went to Mount Tabor with them, it was told then to him, to Sisera, where they were. So while they was on the mountain, all of the Sisera and Jabin's army come in the valley of Kishon, where by the Kishon River, a big valley. You know, if I was drawing up this battle plan, I'd have said, now, whatever you do, Barak, do not leave the mountains. Make him bring him chariots up to the mountains. Don't go down on the valley. Don't go down there where they are. That would be my thinking, because it would be hard to get those chariots between the trees and up and over the rocks and everything. And I'd have stayed right there. But the Lord says, go down there. Go to where they are. Praise the Lord. I'm going to get way ahead of myself if I'm not careful. But see, God revealed to Deborah that Barak, and his name means lightning. He must have been pretty quick. His name meant lightning. See, tell lightning to assemble and draw Sisera near Mount Tabor, gathered in the valley of Kishon River. Of course, he wouldn't go without her. But then we see here, well, after they've come, she says, now you take the men and go. And he took them and went. I think his face started building. I think he started seeing that will in a will. He started realizing that God was getting ready to do something miraculous. God was getting ready to do something great. And he followed the instructions. You know, as I was studying this and I got this point, the Lord gave me a thought. My mama always challenged me to trust and obey the Lord. I wish I could say, boy, I always did. I listened to her and I got in and stayed in. I can't say that. Most of you have heard my testimony. But she always encouraged me to. She said, trust the Lord. Depend upon Him, Tim. She called me Timmy. Timmy. I tell some people, my mama's the only one call me that. But just kidding. But she said, trust the Lord because He has a plan for your life. And she said, I think He's got something special in mind for you. I don't know how many times I heard her say that. She always encouraged me in the things of the Lord. And wow, how thankful. See, Deborah didn't know exactly what God was going to do, but she had the faith and trusted that He was going to do something miraculous in her life. And in for Israel in this time. If you read chapter 5, I encourage you read chapters 4 and 5 in a little bit. We didn't have time to go through. But in chapter 5, in the song of Deborah and Barak, it's pretty obvious to me, and commentators agree and think the same way, that while they were in the valley, when they pulled up at Mount Tabor, all of his host came in that valley. And Gary, if you're listening, and just so happened, it come the awfulest thunderstorm you ever seen. Just so happened that it rained so hard that the chariots got stuck in the mud. That it washed them away. Sisera, the one, jumped off his chariot and took off running and to get his life spared. And we see that God's plan was not them come to the mountains fight against Israel, for Israel to go and draw them in where he was going to fight against them. Glory, hallelujah, where he was going to win the battle. He was going to send the rain. He was going to send the floods. He was going to send the storms. He was going to take care of the enemy that had oppressed his people for over 20 years. Well, glory, I tell you, I feel the Holy Ghost right there. And in our lives, we've been oppressed. We've allowed the devil to torture us, and we've allowed him to destroy our families, and we've allowed him to get a foothold. It's time that we trust the Lord, and we say, God, deliver us and deliver our people. Praise his holy name. See, it's evident what God had done for people that trusted him and depended upon him. See, ladies, it's not always easy to be the person that God wants you to be. You might have to do things that goes against the grain. You may have to make decisions, put your foot down for those young ones that they don't understand. But we know best. I remember one time, and this thought came to my mind. My cousin, a few years, 7 or 8, 9 years older than me, and I was probably 10 or 12. He had been 17, 18, something. He came on a motorcycle. I was outside. He pulled up. And I jumped on. He said, "You want to ride?" And I said, "Sure." And I jumped on the back of the house. And by the time that we got around the house to go up the hill, Mom come out that front door and shot across and blocked us and pulled me off that motorcycle. And she said, "You're not going anywhere with him on no motorcycle." And come to find out, I didn't have a clue. He was doped up and drunk, went right down the road and turned the bike over in the middle of the road and a lot of stuff. But I'm telling you, she didn't stand by when she seen me strapped on the back. She made a beeline. See, sometimes we got to do things. That wasn't popular with me. I didn't get to ride motorcycle much. I was having a big time. But she knowed the danger. She come across and took a stand. Not only that, but several times. Sometimes we had to take a stand, like this mother with the garbage and food. Sometimes we got to say, "I don't care what everybody else says." You know, and we had to say some things we said we'd never say. If everybody else jumped off a building, would you? But it's wisdom that God gives us, and it's not always easy. I'm going to close with a quote. And this is a quote from Lord Shaftesbury. He was the 7th Earl of Shaftesbury. His name is Anthony Ashley Cooper. "Give me a generation of Christian mothers, and I will undertake to change the whole face of society in 12 months. He knew the influence that a Christian mother had upon the families and those around them. He said, "If you'll give me a generation of Christian mothers, and I'll turn the world around." Wow. And mothers and grandmothers and women, ladies, take that challenge. Be that mother. Be that grandmother. Be that sister. Be that aunt. Be that whatever, that I say that I am going to be the Christian example in this family if it's only me. And I'm not going to let the men off that easy, fellas. It's us too. It's us. We're the ones to be leading. The women shouldn't have to be making these decisions. We should have done made them. We should done have things set in order that the women don't have to stand up and do a lot of stuff like that. You fellas wasn't expecting that, was you? But this morning, I encourage, I don't care what gender you are, trust the Lord. Let Him lead you. Let Him guide you. That we love Him, the first of all. And that we listen to Him. And then that we lead others to listen to Him and trust Him. Have you got somebody you're praying for and working on and trying to win to the Lord? If it's no, then we need to get busy in prayer and see who it is that we can win. Who it is this coronavirus has slowed our church services down and kind of halted some things, but the Word's been going out. Probably more people's hearing the Word than they had been. I think now that when we open back up, whenever it would be, that we need to be on fire for the Lord more than we ever have. We need to be more outwardly focused and winning people to the Lord. I believe that this may be a sign that times are getting short, that I don't think we have very long, and that we need to work harder than we've ever worked. Work in the day, because night cometh when we're not going to be able to. Do you know the Lord this morning is Jesus the Lord of your life? Have you asked Him into your heart? Have you said, Jesus, will you forgive me and come into my heart and change me and make me different? Today would be a good day for that. Maybe you're a parent and you say, or a grandparent, I've not led my family and been like I ought to. This would be a good day to nail it down. Ask God to give you wisdom. Ask God to give us a guidance and help us to be the ones that we ought to be. Calvin and Christy is going to come, and after I pray another song, then we'll close after that. I look forward to speaking to you Wednesday evening. But during their song, if you've never asked Jesus into your heart, this would be a good time to. Because that is the only ones that's going to go to heaven. The one that has Jesus came and died on the cross and rose from the dead to make us a way of salvation. He has ascended back into the heaven, sits at the right hand of the Father, and is coming again. I want to be ready. The Bible says that He's coming for His bride dressed in white. It is pure and holy and is living like He expects us to. That's who He's coming after, a prepared bride. And so today, are you part of the bride of Christ? Let's pray. Father, we come to you again. And Father, I'm so thankful to be able to have stood behind this sacred desk. I'm so thankful, Lord, for your many blessings of life. Father, I'm thankful for each and every one that'll be hearing me today. Lord, I pray that you'd direct this to who needs to hear it, and probably all of us needs it. Father, that you would touch hearts, and if anybody hears that's not saved, God, that they'll ask you to come into their heart and ask you to receive forgiveness because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, I ask you to move upon hearts. Challenge us as Christians that we live lives like we're supposed to. Lord, help our churches and give us wisdom. God, I pray for the soon opening. Lord, you'd direct us. Lord, be with Calvin and Christy in this time as they sing. And Lord, that you would touch and guide. Have your wonderful and holy and blessed way. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Again, I hope to talk to you Wednesday, Lord's will. And may God richly, richly bless you. It's our prayer. die.